Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ who have come today to come before the Lord and receive His blessings, His forgiveness. This past summer, my wife and I became homeowners, and I find that now that I actually own something that is permanent, my interests in life have changed a little bit. Things I once had no interest in at all of a sudden I consume my day and I spend my free time researching and looking into. In fact, just a few weeks ago, there was the home show at Tucson Convention Center. And so as a new homeowner who has a big to-do list to get done, I went to it with my wife. And there were things, all different kinds of stuff you could buy there. You could get your pool. You get your patio furniture. You get all the knickknacks for your kitchen. You could probably get a whole home if you wanted to. But what really surprised me from going to that home show was the sheer number of people who are offering you so much if you simply come. Come with your business, come with your contact information, and you'll be entered in every drawing, in every raffle, and every prize. And you could walk away with a lot more than you did coming into it. Coming to someone to receive what they have to offer. In our verses from 2 Chronicles chapter 30, we see King Hezekiah offering to all of the people of Israel and Judah to come before the Lord, to come to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover and receive what God gives in His Word. Blessings that you and I enjoy today. It's amazing. Look at the time of Hezekiah. And when he became the sole ruler of the southern kingdom of Judah, of Israel, called Judah, things were quite a mess by this time. The northern kingdom, that of Israel, had been conquered about 6 years beforehand by the Assyrians. And most of the Jewish people had been deported to Assyria, never to return again. In the southern kingdom, things were politically better. They were their own country, at least. But spiritually, there was a lot to be fixed. The king before Hezekiah's father, named King Ahaz, led the nation of Israel into idolatry that they had not seen before. There were idolatrous altars set up on every street corner in Jerusalem and all the towns in Judah as well. He had the temple cleaned up and locked out. And Hezekiah knew that if he's going to begin his reign as the king of Judah, he needs to start here, reforming the hearts of the people to come before the Lord as our Lord generously invites them. So he cleaned up the temple, got it back open, and sent the word out to everyone to come celebrate the Passover. And what happened? Our verses tell us that the couriers went from town to town, but the people scorned and ridiculed them. Nevertheless, some men from the northern tribes humbled themselves and went to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the southern kingdom, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered, following the word of the Lord. Many were invited, but relatively few came. Does it seem that way in our world today? The invitation goes out to listen to God's word, to all the people, to come and see what our Savior has to tell us. But relatively few people come. It's look at your past years of your life. Which kingdom would you identify with when you receive God's invitation to hear His word? Is it the northern kingdom that sometime comes? Or the southern kingdom, which gladly came to receive God's blessings? I found out that if a person isn't regularly coming before the Lord, that many times it's because they don't realize how much they need to hear what our God says. This may not come as a surprise to you, but you and I, we're not the greatest people out there. I'm not talking about big, huge crimes that get us into prison. Certainly that is true, but you and I, we break the laws of our country many times a day without realizing it often. I often wonder if a police officer were to stop me, how many times he could cite me for all the little traffic rules that I never knew existed or I assume don't apply here in Arizona, how many times he would cite me for those. Comes to reporting our taxes, whether it's on purpose or on accident. Taking shortcuts at work or school. The boss, the professor says that this is what needs to be done so that we are prepared and ready to go. But we know the little ways you can circumvent that to get the easy way out. And you end up good enough in the end. We break our country's laws. And those just talk about how we are to act. But we do. What about the laws that say what we are to think and what we are to say? God's law. Have you ever thought bad about another person or spoke ill will about them? Have you forgotten when you have done that? It's not just the people who don't come to church who need to hear God's word. It's you and me. Because we sin each and every day. To come before the Lord and see what he tells us, what life really is to be a child of God. Because living in this world without trusting in his salvation that we have in the Bible can often seem like we're climbing an endless ladder. For every law we keep, we go up one rung and get closer to heaven. But in the meanwhile, you know what's happened? We slipped 2, 3, 4 rungs. We'll never get to that top by ourselves. And for those who do not trust in their salvation that comes in God's word, what will happen to them when they lose their strength, when they pass away? They'll fall off that ladder and plummet to the depths of hell. But those who come to God's word and trust what is told to us that we need to hear so badly, we don't need to worry about falling off that ladder and falling into hell. For it's in God's word that we see who our Savior is, what he has done for us. We're looking at the book of 2 Chronicles, which is Hezekiah's celebration of the Passover. Do you know why that was such a big deal? To celebrate the Passover that had not been celebrated for at least a good number of years. Permit me a little backstory if your Bible history is a little rusty. It goes back to the days of Moses and the 10 plagues. And the last plague was God was going to send the angel of death to kill the firstborn son of the households in Egypt. But if a person took a lamb, a spotless, healthy lamb, and painted its blood on the door frame, the angel of death would pass over their house, hence the name Passover. That night in Egypt, the angel of death came, killed countless firstborn sons, the firstborn son of Pharaoh. But those who had painted the blood of the Passover lamb were passed over. And that night, Pharaoh begged Moses and the Israelites to leave Egypt before things got worse. It's because of that historic night that God commanded the Israelites to celebrate the Passover, to remind, to see God's mercy shown to them in the land of Egypt. But like how the blood of the Passover lamb kept those firstborn sons from death, so the blood of our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, it keeps us from eternal death. The lamb that was used in the Passover sacrifice was to be a spotless, a healthy lamb. And so was Jesus. Far more spotless, far more healthy than any lamb could be because he's the Son of God. While you and I can't go a day without sinning against God, Jesus remained as perfect as the day he was when he was born in Bethlehem. Well past, he still is perfect. The Old Testament believers learn at the sacrifice of Passover that there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. So Jesus, our Passover lamb, shed his blood on the cross so that we may have forgiveness. Those who believe what God's word tells us, that Jesus is our Savior, saves us as the Passover lamb, don't need to worry about that endless ladder and what will happen to them when they pass away. For the blood of the Lamb has washed our sins away. We are kept safe from death. When we lose our strength in this world, our Savior will bring us up to be with him in heaven. That's the basic message of God's word that we get to hear, that we need to hear so much when we come before the Lord. The message that those Old Testament believers heard when they came to Jerusalem for the Passover. And it just so happens that just as they had a big festival service in 2 Chronicles, here at Grace Lutheran, we happen to have a big festival service coming up as well. We get to hear what our God tells us in his word. A week from today is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, the service we're having for that, where we will get to hear all the great truths that God tells us, of all that he gives to us freely, as he invites us to talk, to hear about. The more I hear about it from our planning committee and from Pastor Kosalki, the more excited I get, because I know that this service is going to be like any other that we have seen in this part of our country in a good long while. The truths of God, that of our Savior, proclaimed in wondrous word and spectacular song. The invitation has gone out. How will you act? Like the Northern Kingdom and may become? Or the Southern Kingdom and gladly come to hear what God has to tell to you? I pray it's like the Southern Kingdom, that you come and be with me and celebrate with countless other believers. And if you know someone who is on the fence, encourage them to come along to hear what our God tells us. When we come before the Lord as invited in his word, as then we get that message that is so important. Not just next week at our big festival service, but every week we come. And when you come before the Lord, come with a heart that is proper, that wants to learn about your Savior and to grow in faith. The Old Testament believers came to Jerusalem with the proper heart that they were to have. For not only did they make the travels to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, but they also cleansed Jerusalem of all the idolatry worship that had been going on there. As our verses tell us, they removed the altars in Jerusalem and cleared away the incense altars and threw them into the Kidron Valley. All the spiritual damage that King Ahaz had done the generation before was starting to be undone. But there was some more problems. For the proper hearts that the people came from the northern kingdom, from tribes like Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, they didn't know, they were ignorant that to celebrate the Passover, you need to ceremonially purify yourself. They were coming with proper hearts to worship God, but they were sinning against God, against the law given to Moses. But Hezekiah, seeing that they were coming with the hearts set on worshiping God, he prayed to God on their behalf. He said, "May the Lord, who is good, pardon everyone who sets his heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of his fathers, even if he is not clean according to the rules of the sanctuary." And what did God give to those who approached him with a proper heart? The Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. He forgave their sins. When we come before the Lord, is your heart a proper one? I'll admit, when I was a child, like every child and every teenager, there are just some Sunday mornings where the last thing you want to do is to come to church. You would either sleep in, you either have the extra free time, whatever, but you don't want to come and hear what God says. My parents were wise enough to drag me out of bed and to put me in the car and make sure that I didn't fall asleep during the service, because they realized that what we hear in this hour of worship, what we hear in God's house, is far more important than a couple hours of free time on a Sunday morning. The truths of our Savior, what He has given to us by the cross. When you come before the Lord, do your hearts remain proper? I find that when the few Sundays where I don't preach and I sit in the pews, that how quickly it is that my mind gets distracted from why I have come to church. I come here to look at my Savior and what He has done for me, to learn of all His wonderful love, but so often my to-do list pops in my mind of what needs to get done for the week, or I forgot this, I need to talk to this person about that. Before I know it, my focus isn't on Him, it's on me. When you open your Bibles at home and you have your daily devotional, remind yourself why it is that you're getting into God's Word. It's not to finish that chapter or that section and to cross off another little box on your reading chart, but to sit at the feet of your Savior and learn what wonderful truths that He has in store for you that day. But how hard it is to keep that proper heart, to grow in faith in our Savior. How often we need someone to speak to God on our behalf, just as King Hezekiah spoke to God on behalf of those ceremonial unclean believers. And we do have someone. Jesus. A great high priest who not only saved us as a Passover lamb, who gave His death, lived the perfect life that we cannot, but He continues to stand by our side. And when our hearts are lacking, when our hearts are not proper, He intercedes on our behalf to God above and gives us His righteousness, His forgiveness. So when the Almighty Father looks down on you and for me, doesn't see our sins, sees His righteousness given to us every time we come to Him in His Word. It's because of these blessings that we can rejoice just as the believers did at Passover, giving thanks to God for what we have been given. For it's in God's Word that we have the message that truly matters. Far more important than anything we could have in this world. More of more value than whatever prize you can get from a home show. The message of our Savior. Our God generously invites us to hear what He says in His Word. Thankfully, you and I have heard that invitation and are here listening to. And I pray that we never take for granted what we hear and what we come to in God's Word. It's also with the Passover celebration that we see how our God intercedes for us. Day by day, He will not leave us. May we never forget these blessings, but rather graciously accept the Lord's invitation to come before Him with a heart set on our Savior. Amen.